Good afternoon. I don't have any financial relationships to disclose. Cancer, also known as a group of diseases characterized by uncontrolled growth and spread of abnormal cells, is responsible for roughly 8 million deaths worldwide per year. This is projected to increase to near 13.1 million per year by the year 2030. Cancer is the second most common cause of death in the United States, exceeded only by heart disease, accounting for nearly one in every four deaths. Many types of cancers are related to an unhealthy diet, such as eating food with high fat content and less fruits and vegetables. As a result, cancer prevention organizations have created guidelines that recommend consuming at least 2.5 cups or 5 servings of fruits and vegetables per day, reducing caloric intake about 50 to 100 calories per day, consuming total fat less than or equal to 30% of energy intake, and replacing refined grain with whole grain product. The CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, in 2010, reported that about 30% of adults consumed enough fruits and vegetables to meet the recommendations. In a more recent study, it indicated about 10% of women consume a healthy diet to meet the minimum recommendation of fruit and vegetable consumption. Unfortunately, as we can see, a majority of adults are not following these recommendations. Therefore, a trusted source of accurate and practical dietary information is needed. Knowledge, beliefs, and attitudes are the key factors that affect healthy eating behaviors for preventing cancer in the future. A study from 2006 reported that knowledge of dietary health in terms of disease prevention is positively related with preventive behaviors. In another study, individual beliefs about behavior barriers of consuming healthy diet and belief of convenient eating were the strongest variables for predicting eating behaviors. More recently, in 2009, researchers reported that attitudes were strongly related to intention to follow a cancer prevention diet. Several studies have explored the factors influencing eating behaviors to prevent cancer in many different populations, including college students versus graduate students, pre-adolescents and adolescents, ethnic groups of all various kinds, and then general adult U.S. population. However, no study focuses specifically on health concentration students, those in a health science. And the proposed study is significant because these students may be sources of nutritional information to their peers and others in the future careers. The purpose of this study was to examine knowledge, beliefs, and attitudes regarding basic nutrition recommended for cancer prevention by students at St. Louis University enrolled in a health-related concentration. And this included medicine, physician assistant, nursing, public health, and nutrition and dietetics. For purposes of this presentation, physician assistant and medicine had to be combined based on the results and the curriculum similarities. Our hypothesis was that SLU's health concentration students would have a high knowledge of basic nutrition and positive beliefs and attitudes regarding perceived barriers to eating a healthy diet. More specifically, we hypothesized that nutrition students will have a higher knowledge of basic nutrition than the other health students. Additionally, it was expected that increased educational level and being female would be associated with increased practice and higher knowledge of a healthy diet. So a SLU students with one of those 5 health-related concentrations were surveyed during 1 week in November 2013 using a survey software called Qualtrics. We did this using cluster and convenience sampling methods to recruit potential participants, which we invited all of these students, which came out to just over 3,200 invited, via an email invitation from a representative from their school or department. The survey included 18 items from the Center for Disease Control's 1992 National Health Interview Survey within the Cancer Epidemiology Supplement, a previously validated survey of the general United States population. The reason we chose this versus a newer one is because it was more basic and less complex. We wanted general knowledge, not necessarily how much you eat, how much do you do this. Because it was students, they were more likely to answer this if it was much easier. Answers to the questions provided the information used to assess knowledge and beliefs regarding diet and cancer risk, a previously developed scale to facilitate ranking persons according to relative knowledge level. Respondents were categorized into low, moderate, and high knowledge level on the basis of their scale scores. These questions add up to a scale ranging from 0 to 5. The responses in red are the correct responses. Knowledge regarding fat and fiber content in foods was assessed by asking respondents to compare the fat and fiber content of 6 pairs of foods. Respondents were categorized as having low, moderate, or high knowledge level regarding fat and fiber content in foods according to their scale score. These questions add up ranging from 0 to 7. The responses in red are the correct responses. For data analysis, descriptive statistics were computed along with chi-square tests of association in SPSS version 20. Chi-square tests in this presentation compare proportions in our sample between gender, academic status, and department or school group that they fall in. A total of 428 students were eligible for inclusion in the analysis, which came out to about a 13% overall response rate, which differed by school. A majority of the sample was female, almost 80%, which is very similar to the SLU population you can see on the right-hand side. But 57% were post-baccalaureate students, or graduate students, professional students, and beyond, which is less than the overall population from which it was recruited. In addition, a much higher proportion of nutrition students was captured in the sample. So looking at the knowledge and belief scale score, overall, over half of the students scored high on the knowledge and beliefs regarding diet and cancer risk. You can see on the chart all low, moderate, and high for the diet and cancer risk, and then the fat and fiber content in foods. This is split up by male and female in this chart. Only 20% scored high on the knowledge of the fat and fiber content in foods, however. When considering the scale stratified by gender, females scored significantly higher on fat and fiber contents in foods knowledge, with 20% scoring high and 37% moderate. Males only had 15% high and about 25% moderate. No differences were observed for the diet and cancer risk scale. Here we put it into dichotomous scales, so low and moderate put together and high for diet and cancer risk, and low and moderate and high for fat and fiber content in foods. We still see there's a significant difference, with well over half of the males falling in the low category, but over half of the females falling in the moderate or high knowledge scale for fat and fiber contents in foods. When we split this up by undergrad or post-baccalaureate, in both scales, we saw no significant difference in knowledge. If you dichotomize that into those same two, we still see no significant difference. Here we see the schools by department and school. There were no significant differences between groups, but as you can see, there's a zero in the column, which isn't allowing for the chi-square value to be computed. So when you remove the nutrition, you see that between medicine and physician assistant together, nursing and public health, we see a significant difference. Nursing students scored the highest among these groups on the fat and fiber contents of food scale, with 21% scoring high and 40% moderate. Public health students performed the worst on the scale, with 56% recording a low score. Here, if you dichotomize it, you can see that nutrition can then be computed, and it is significant to show that it is different from the others, 70% falling in the moderate or high group, followed by nursing, medicine, and then public health scoring the worst. If you remove that, you still see a significant difference among those three groups. One of the open-ended questions was asking about the daily servings of fruits and vegetables for good health. As mentioned before, a correct response is shown here. It's 5 or more servings. So anything that said 5 or anything more was coded as being a correct response. Of note, 66% of the sample answered the question correctly. The only significant difference between groups that we observed was with academic status. Post-baccalaureate students displayed a higher knowledge of number of servings needed per day versus the undergrad students. If you remove nutrition, we still not see a significant difference. When we're looking at perceived barriers to a healthy diet, we see that we have plenty of foods tasting good. It's easy to eat a healthy diet. Whether or not healthy foods cost more than other kinds of foods, conflicting advice on healthy ways to eat, or getting encouragement. Here we see that there was no significant difference in gender regarding perceived barriers to eating a healthy diet. When you split it by undergrad and post-baccalaureate, you see that undergraduate students perceive cost as being a barrier to healthier foods versus post-bac, which isn't necessarily surprising. However, you can see that they do get more encouragement from family and friends to eat more healthy diets than post-bac students. If you're looking at cost, it's significantly different for the school groups. 74% perceived it being a barrier, but only 50% of nutrition students thought it was a barrier, showing that they're able to work with whatever food you have to have a healthy diet. Versus other students, public health, again, thinking the cost is still the worst. If you remove nutrition group, the other groups are not significantly different from each other. There was one question talking about diet behavior, asking how often do you or the person who shops for you buy food items that are labeled low fat or high fat. We did see a significant difference with males and females, with most of the males falling in sometimes buying, 45% versus females who fall into the often and sometimes group. No difference between post-bac or undergrad or any of the groups. When you remove nutrition, you see no difference, but there's a slight change in the males and females, with more females falling into the often category. The present findings suggest that health-related concentration students have high knowledge of diet and cancer risk, but a low knowledge of the fat and fiber content in foods. Previous study developed the scoring categories analyzed in the National Health Interview Survey sample of 12,000 adults, concluding that about 42% of the sample scored high and 21% scored high in the fat and fiber content scale. Over half of the current study population sample scored high on the diet and cancer risk scale, which is a very positive thing. There were no differences in proportions observed for the cancer risk scale. For the fat and fiber content of foods, we see that it's similar to the general population. Females scored much higher than males, nutrition being the highest, followed by nursing, and then of concern, public health being the worst. Overall, we didn't really see much of a knowledge difference in education level. One of the questions we saw that the five or more servings of fruits and vegetables, which 66%, but the general population was 16%, so that's positive news. But there's no real knowledge difference that we've seen in our sample. Overall, there was positive responses for perceived barriers and cost of healthy foods. A higher proportion of undergraduate students saw this was a barrier, but nutrition students didn't necessarily see this as the case. And undergrad students tend to get more encouragement from others. The study has several limitations, including it's a convenient sample, so it comes with its limitations there. It's a cross-sectional study design, so it's a snapshot in time. You have no causation. And due to low response rate, especially in nutrition students, this may not be generalizable to all the students at SLU. And the survey items were retrieved from an older survey from 1992. Some of the questions may be outdated, but they're fairly basic to be understood. Some of the implications being to develop an intervention for healthcare students, with self-awareness of fat and fiber consumption in improving nutritional context. Perceived cost is a significant barrier because it does impact behavior regardless of somebody's knowledge or beliefs on an issue. So we need to improve nutrition education because of the potential for nutritional counseling in the future. Thank you. Is there any questions? Yes. Interesting you said that. No, we did not. Originally, we had thought about it, putting some money together for it. What we did to target and follow it was to get a representative from each of the schools. So we had either the director or the student services representative to send out the email and emphasize to take the survey. So there's no real incentive, which is surprising. We were able to get so many people to fill it out. But no, we didn't have an actual incentive besides being part of something. Any other questions? Okay, thank you very much.